This is KUNC. I'm Kyra Buckley. An army depot in Pueblo has long been home to a toxic legacy, hundreds of thousands of chemical weapons. They've been stockpiled there for generations, and they must be destroyed according to an international treaty. Environmental concerns have delayed the effort, but now, as KUNC's Michael DeJuana reports, the weapons are finally disappearing.
During World War II, the U.S. military assembled a special group of soldiers who were preparing to use chemical weapons if the Nazis used them first.
The big day is still to come. It'll be when Hitler, with his back to the wall, frantically uses gas as a last resort. That will be the climax in this war, and depending upon what happens then, may rest the outcome.
This military training film was restricted when it was released in the 1940s. Meaning it was never seen by the public. It was produced before there was an atomic bomb, back when the worst kind of war imaginable involved chemical weapons.
When the gas warfare phase comes, it will produce tremendous casualties on the enemy, and at the same time prevent excessive casualties to our own troops.
The film also highlights a vast network of chemical weapons labs and manufacturing arsenals working on the effort.
Here on the outskirts of Denver, Colorado, is the newest of our arsenals, the Rocky Mountain Chemical Warfare Arsenal. It is located completely out of the range of any possible air threat.
The weapons made in this era and in subsequent years were sent to various depots around the country, including one about 100 miles south of Denver, in Pueblo, the Army's Pueblo Chemical Depot, where they've sat for about seven decades. By international treaty, workers are disassembling 780,000 shells and mortars.
There's chemical agent in there, there's decontamination solution in there, a vapor hazard, a liquid hazard.
It'll kill you.
That's Tom Bailey. He's a support specialist at the heavily guarded Pueblo Chemical Agent Destruction Pilot Plant, one of just two Army sites in the U.S. contending with such chemical weapons. He shows me the protective suit the workers wear. It looks like a spacesuit. It has a tube for air and a pulse display for workers and the operators that watch their every move from a control room.
Yeah. It's 30 mil polyvinyl chloride, so you can feel it. It's real heavy.
The work is so technical and so dangerous that I can't go to the actual site. So I'm visiting a nearby training facility, a life-size replica, only there's no mustard agent to worry about. Inside, there are two robots, and they're named for characters in the classic 1970s Mel Brooks film, Young Frankenstein. One is Inga, and...
Who was Inga's assistant with young Dr. Frankenstein?
Well, I'm thinking Igor, or is it Igor?
Igor. You nailed it.
And that's about as funny as things get around here. The robots cut open the tops of the shells, remove the bursters that would make them explode, and then comes the really tricky part. Some are corroded on the inside, and as a byproduct, hydrogen gas can mingle with the mustard agent.
It's in the liquid.
Okay.
Just like champagne.
Wow.
Okay? What happens when you open a champagne bottle? What happens when you break that seal at the top? Right? All those bubbles break.
Right.
And when they do, then that...
cascades out.
It expands. That the liquid becomes foam, and it expands to where it wants.
Igor delicately moves a roughly 100-pound shell upside down at a kind of sink. If the gallon of liquid inside were to start bubbling, this method could handle it. A machine then sprays high-pressure hot water into the shell, coaxing what's in it out. Then Igor picks the shell up.
He's going to hold it at 30 degrees for about 10 seconds to allow things to drain.
What's left of the shells goes one way, to an oven, where it's superheated, burning off any remaining mustard. From there, the steel is recycled. As for the liquid, it flows down a drain and then through titanium pipes in a closed system. From there,
wastewater treatment 101.
Site project manager Walton Levi, who runs the plant, says the water starts to break down the mustard agent. And eventually, it goes to a reactor where it's neutralized. It turns into what's called thiodiglycol. And as odd as this sounds, the same kind of microbes that are used in sewage systems to consume human waste also eat this stuff.
It's Darwin at its best. So those microbes that really like the thiodiglycol and can digest it the best, they multiply and take over.
What is the byproduct of that?
It is mostly water and salt.
But this isn't the kind of salt you would want to put on your eggs in the morning.
No. It's kind of a slurry solution coming out. It's kind of a wet salt.
The water is then pressed out of that salt and reused at the plant. And the salt cakes that are left are contaminated with heavy metals.
So you'll see these salt cakes go off to hazardous waste landfill.
It's taken more than a decade to get to this point. From conception of the plant starting in 2004 to construction starting in 2008 to testing, and finally the destruction of the first few of the depot's weapons in September of 2016. By law, all 780,000 shells must be destroyed by the end of 2023. Levi wants that to happen a full year ahead of the deadline.
We want to make sure we target early as a contingency, so we'll hit that December 2023 date.
Because there can be delays. Earlier this year, plant operations were halted when two large tanks that store the thiodiglycol developed leaks.
Between the two tanks, it was a total of 8 ounces. We are very vigilant. Safety is everything we do.
How long were operations down when that happened?
They were down about 3 to 4 weeks.
On July 31st, the plant hit a milestone, processing 150,000 of the largest shells at a rate of 24 per hour, which it has agreed to with the state. The plant could go faster.
A total of 64 an hour.
But that might be too fast. To find the most sustainable rate, the plant is working with the state.
The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment will set the limit as to how many weapons per day they are allowed to put through.
Irene Cornelli is a locally appointed member of the Colorado Chemical Demilitarization Citizens Advisory Commission. It's a group that monitors every aspect of the destruction of the weapons, giving voice to the community.
They have to go through a pretty massive process called a multi-pathway health risk assessment of everything that comes out of the plant. Is it still meet air quality standards? Does it still meet all the standards that we're looking for?
All of this effort was created a generation ago as an alternative to how the Army used to destroy chemical weapons. First, by dropping them into the sea, and when that fell under scrutiny, by incinerating them at installations. When the work at Pueblo's Army Depot and another depot in Kentucky is finally done, the United States will be rid of its chemical weapons, honoring its commitment to the international community. They were manufactured long ago for a nightmare battle that never happened. Michael DeOanna, KUNC, Pueblo.